That's exactly along the line of what I'm preaching. The more that I have prayed about this, the more I feel the direction of God. The area that I'm going to be looking at tonight, I will not finish it tonight. I don't know if I'll finish it next Sunday morning, Lord willing, or next Sunday night. But people do need the Lord. That's why we need to be a witness everywhere that we go. The message that I'm looking at tonight will deal with something to help many of you. I know that this message will not apply to everyone that is here, but I do believe that the Lord will use it to touch the hearts of the vast majority of people that's gathered here, because a lot of people work in conditions that the environment is not the best environment in the world for them to be in. Very difficult environment. I know that because some of you... I will not call you on the job unless I absolutely have to. Because you have some of the meanest people in the world working where you work. And I pray for you often because of that. I don't understand why people get paid good money and they can't even be polite on the phone to a total stranger. Well, I got three amens. But some of you have worked in terrible environments and you know what I'm talking about. If we're going to lead people to the Lord, we've got to live the right life on our job, the same as we do any other place. We know that our workplace, in fact, a lot of you are struggling with your work situation. The average person under my voice spends total time getting ready for work, driving to work, being at work, coming home from work, then detoxing from work. It takes about an hour, hour and a half. Then you get a moment of peace while you eat. Then you go to bed and dream about work. So most of you spend a minimum of 12 hours a day involved with your work. 12 times 5 is 60 hours a week, 52 weeks a year. Think how much time I can free you up on if I can get you to a place where you enjoy your work. Wouldn't that be great? Now, I know this message is mostly for Christians. It's not that these principles will not apply to people that are not Christians. But to be Christian is to say that I'm Christ-like. And some of these that I'm going to list in this series of sermons, without the help of God, you're going to have a hard time being like Christ. And some of the things that I'm going to mention to you that could help you in your workplace. When you're dealing with obstinate people, and even sometimes people that are full of the devil. 1 Samuel 16 is where I'll begin reading tonight. 1 Samuel 16. And let's begin reading with 12, verse 12. I made reference to this morning. If you take notes, I would simply call this spiritual laws to work by. Spiritual laws to work by. If you can follow these laws, if you are working for someone or living with someone that is being influenced by the devil, then these laws will help you in your workplace. Now, some of you are going to say, well, I'm retired. Don't worry, I'll preach you a sermon later on. But if you're retired, you've probably dealt with a few folks like this that I'm going to talk about. And you still need to know when you're in unpleasant situations that sometimes God allows us to get in unpleasant situations and uncomfortable situations because we cannot use our gift that God has given to us until we are challenged to use that gift in some way. God's purpose is more important than your comfort. God is more concerned about fulfilling His will than He is keeping you comfortable. And sometimes God will send us to places that we don't like to go there because it's a den of fire. We know what we're headed into when we go there. Do you honestly think that I love to preach at every church that I schedule a revival at? There's some places I've argued with God and said, I don't want to go back. God said, you have to go back. So I'm under the persuasion now, I never tell God, I don't want to go back, but He understands my thought afar off. He says, you've got to go back. Lord, they don't like me there. You've got to go back. Lord, they sleep when I preach. You've got to go back. Lord, they corner me after I preach and they don't like what I say. You've got to go back. Lord, they get mad and they get mean. You've got to go back. Besides that, you're the pastor there. Just a little humor. Just a little humor. I'm not good at humor. I'll leave that alone. But we all get in places that we don't want to be, really. Isn't that right? See, if I had my way, I'd never leave this pulpit. I'm at home here. I'm comfortable with you. You're comfortable, I hope, with me. And I would never leave this pulpit. But sometimes God sends me in the middle of fire. Sometimes in life, God will move you from a job where everything is wonderful into a job where it is nothing but adversity nonstop. But you remember this. Anytime God leads you in the fire, He always has His hand on the thermostat. He'll not let it get too hot. He'll not let it overwhelm you. Here we read of the calling of David in 1 Samuel 16, beginning with verse 12. And he sent and brought him, that's David. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But the Spirit of the Lord, watch now, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Boy, that's a bold statement. In fact, that's why I got involved in this study. That evil spirit from the Lord. I'll explain that in a moment. And verse 15, and Saul's servant said unto him, behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. That's two times he said it. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp, and it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God, three times, is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse in the Bethlehemite that is cunning in playing, comma. See that? Cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man. He can play. He is bold. And a man of war, he can fight. And prudent in matters, he can conduct business. And a comely person. On top of that, he's good looking. Wow, sounds like me. Just a little humor. And the Lord is with him. Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, send me David thy son, which is with the sheep. And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly. And he became his armor bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight. It started out as a part-time job and led to a full-time job. You know, if you're working part-time and want to get hired full-time, be good at what you do. And it led to full-time opportunity for him. And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God, four times, was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. This evil spirit from God, I think that you get the wrong idea when you read that. You think that God made an evil spirit and sent that to Saul. And that's not what it means at all. I just came from Milton, West Virginia. That means that I passed through that town on my way here tonight. In other words, Milton, West Virginia didn't stop me. I came from Milton, through Barbersville, from Huntington, from Ironton, from New Boston to Rubyville. None of those towns stopped me. That doesn't mean that the evil spirit was God created. That just meant, are you ready for this? Nothing comes into your life if you are a Christian without God first letting it pass through Him. That's what it means. And that's also why we can claim the verse of Scripture that He'll never put more upon us than we can bear. God knows our frame. And that means God will never let anything pass through Him that He knows we cannot bear. No matter how bad that it is, if you are saved, no matter how tough the situation is, it will not cause you to backslide. You can't hold up under it. God says, I see in you the strength that is needed to overcome it. I've given you the gifts and the weapons to overcome it. It's coming through me, but don't worry. I've got my hand on it and it'll be all right. That's what He's saying. David's gifts were never used until confronted by Saul's wickedness. Wickedness gives us an opportunity to do things that we could not otherwise do. God's goodness never looks better than when it is shining in the middle of the devil's wickedness. Now let's face it, folks. If I come into church tonight and bow my head and pray before service, that has an impact, but that doesn't have nearly the impact as when I was in business and I sat at a table with a group of businessmen that were all ungodly, and before we ate, I said to them, I'm sorry, but I don't eat until I pray. That has a greater impact because the situation is darker. Therefore, your light shines more because you're surrounded by more wickedness. Sometimes adversity just gives us an opportunity to use what God has really given to us. He gives us gifts and abilities that until we're confronted with terrible situations, we cannot use those gifts and abilities. So in reality, when you are sent to a place, your first instinct is, if you get somewhere where you have a boss that is just full of the devil, or you're working in an ungodly environment, the first thing you want to do is run. Get out of it. But what if the only light those people will ever have? What if the only testimony that God would ever send them was through you? If you run, they may never hear, and they may never see. The key is not your environment. Quit looking for comfortable situations to serve God in. If you are dressed right for the job, you can do any job. If you are dressed right, you can work with anthrax, and it won't harm you. The key to it is not changing the environment. The key to it is preparing yourself before you get into that environment and having principles or spiritual laws that will help you when you get in an ungodly environment to say, I've made my mind up. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to be. And if you stick with that, it will prevail no matter how terrible the environment. Now, for time's sake, I'm going to try to give you five. I may only give you two or three tonight. But I'm going to go over them real quick. Number one, spiritual law number one. God anoints you in trouble, not from trouble. The anointing was on David, but the anointing left Saul. When the anointing came on David, it left King Saul. That made him vulnerable for this evil spirit.
had he had the anointing of God on him, the evil spirit could never have come into him. Listen, I want you to hear what I'm about to say. A devil can never possess a believer. It's impossible. It's spiritually impossible. If you're a believer filled with the power of God, if the Holy Spirit resides in you, the devil and God cannot both live in your heart at the same time. So if you're telling me tonight, I'm not drawn to the things of God, I'm only drawn to the things of the devil, and I have these tremendous cravings to do these evil things, then I've got news for you. You're not right with God. You've got a problem in your heart, and you need to surrender that thing to God, because if you don't, the devil will take advantage of you. He does not anoint you from trouble. He anoints you in trouble. You will be at your best when the environment is at its worst if you're a real Christian. The more challenging the situation, the more creativity God will give you. Because our wisdom does not come from the channels of wisdom that man has. Our wisdom comes from God. So therefore, God can teach me things and help me to know things, even though maybe I've not learned it in a textbook or I don't understand it with my mind. Suddenly, God, supernaturally, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, will help me look at a situation and say, this is what you ought to do. And the greater the challenge, the more creativity that God gives to us. Number one, God anoints you in trouble. Not from, hey, the anointing of God is not to make you shout. The anointing of God is to protect you when you fight. It is to protect you in an ungodly environment. So here's David sent into this situation with the anointing of God on him. Why did God bring David there? Because David had the anointing of God on him. He knew that he could survive the situation. Number two, I'm talking about your workplace, okay? Don't expect to be appreciated. You are not at work to make buddies. You are not in a public place to form personal relationships. You are on the job to do a job. Am I helping anyone tonight with what I'm saying? You're not there to try to find direction in your life. You're not there to find counseling. You're not there to find out the latest gossip. You're there to do a job. Do your job. Don't expect to be a preacher. Now, there's certain things you can expect from your job. Biblically, expect your pay. A laborer is worthy of their hire. What they hired you to do, what they said they would pay you, you have the right to expect that. But listen, if you're on one of those pity parties where you sit around and say, I did extra things and they didn't tell me how much they appreciate, your boss does not have time to show you appreciation. They did not hire you to show you appreciation. They hired you to do a job. That's the biggest problem we face in the church world even today. For some reason, we feel like we have to have our egos super inflated constantly to tell us how wonderful we are, how sweet we are. The truth of the matter is, you hired me to pastor this church. Case in point. You hired me to preach. You hired me to do the duties of a pastor. All I can do is those duties. I'm not concerned with you having to take time out of every service to tell me how much you appreciate me. Don't worry about that. I'll get plenty of that at home. And by the way, that's where you should get your appreciation due. If you want paradise in your life, you'll find out in Eden there were four rivers, four streams that fed paradise. Your work is only one of those streams. I'd like to go off on the other three, but I know better than I. You better make sure your life is balanced. When you start trying to use your job for personal relationships, Normally, if these people are ungodly, they will eventually drag you away from the relationship that really matters, and that's the relationship with your family and the relationship with your church. That almost always happens. That's why working overtime for greed purposes is so dangerous. Ooh. Boy, I got a chill on that one. There's nothing wrong with working overtime. But if you work overtime to keep from coming home and spending time with mommy, you've got a problem. Don't shout me down now. You should find your appreciation at home. That should be the avenue of your appreciation. You should be able to thrive and grow in places that others cannot grow. Jesus became a root out of dry ground. It was an unnatural habitat that He sprung up. And sometimes God will put you in dry places. And the strangest thing is, you can grow in dry places just like you can at church. But don't go to the job saying, I expect to be appreciated. You should be respected. You should be paid. But man, if the boss has to pat you on the back every time you do something. There's some people in the church say, give me a job. I feel led to do. But then I have to pat them on the back nonstop. Hey folks, just think of me. Well, if I got to spend all that time patting you on the back, I might as well do it myself. I mean, it takes more time to pat you on the back than it does to do the job. I had a terrible time with this with my children growing up. They'd want to learn things. I didn't have the patience to teach them. Because by the time they messed up and cobbled up everything, I could have already had it done. So sometimes it got easier for me just to go ahead and do it instead of teaching them how. But that's children growing up. In the church, yes, we need to love one another. And it's fine to every now and then say, that was a good job. But when people do things like this, well, I taught. Nobody listened. I think I'm going to quit next Sunday. How do you know nobody listened? How do you know no one heard? Sometimes, don't you think, when I finish with a sermon and people's running in and out, boy, that didn't get many amens. I mean, I know sometimes we all have to go out. But some of you, that's all you do is go out. Some of you young people, I'm worried about some of you. You need a doctor bad. Real bad. By the way, you win the speed record too. Some of you get drinks of water and go to the restroom quicker than any kids in all of America. You know what it is? You just get bored sitting there and you feel like you got to get up and got to go. Stay in your seat. You're old enough now, 8, 10, 12 years old. Stay in your seat. Don't play around. Pay attention. You're going to need this stuff one day. By the way, I hate to say that because some of you parents should have already said it. I understand when we have people here sick, bad sick. They'll wait as long as they can, knowing they need to get out and get a drink. But they'll put themselves through it. What's the matter with some of you? Get up and... Everybody see me? Go home and thank God that Preacher Cal's not your daddy. Well, enough of that. Don't expect to be appreciated. I'm here. Yes, you are here. But there's times you have to learn some things. What that does, that starts a pattern. Then when you get on the job, you goof off all the time on your job. The rest of your life, you're running in and out. You can't sit still long enough to hear anything. Because you're running in and out, never paying attention. We set a pattern in our life. And there's some things we better get it the first time around. Because we might not have two chances. Only one. Uh-oh, I better move on. Seek to change the environment. Now wait. Seek to change the environment. How do you change it? Number one, by not talking about the problem. David got there, he knew he had an evil spirit. Everybody knew he had an evil spirit. Show me where David ever said anything about an evil spirit. All he did, waited for the evil spirit to come on him. He grabbed the harp. He started playing. In other words, everybody else knew the problem. David had a solution. Don't you get tired of people on your job that all they can do is find problems? They never find an answer. They just find a problem. Seems like all of society can find the problem. Here's the real problem. Nobody has an answer to the problem. Anybody can find a problem. We're looking for solutions. We need some help here. We need somebody that will come along and say, I've got the answer to your problem. I've got the solution to your problem. Some of you have been looking here and there saying, I'm going to run, I'm going to leave, I'm not going to stay on this job. I've got the answer to your problem. God has put you in that environment so that you can change that environment. Pray for wisdom to be able to come up with the solutions on the workplace to make the workplace more effective. To make things run smoother. Make it so people, when you walk through the door, can say, oh, I'm so glad you're here. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were sharing with me about their workplace. They were telling me how people were off here and off there, and they'd go for days and not call in sick and not... I can't even fathom that. They said, Preacher, what do you think about that? I said, I wonder why they keep them hired. I mean, come on, if I can go 8 or 9 months without you, maybe I don't need you. If you don't make any more impact than that. And now, here's another thing. Boy, and I tell you, I know this doesn't settle well. But whenever I hear those gripers come along that say something like this, you know, I missed one service and Cal never called me. Nobody in that church came to check on me. You figure it out from there. I'd hate to sit in the same place every week and not touch enough lives around me for nobody. You know, this is the common thing people say. They say, well, I come to that church and, you know, no one even showed the fact that they care. Well, did you introduce yourself to anyone? Did you show yourself friendly to anyone? I mean, why is it everybody's responsibility to know everything about you and not your responsibility to know something about somebody else? I better move on real quick with that. Number four, do your job well. You may not do it as good as someone else, but do it the best you can. Nowhere does God tell me I have to be better than someone else. But God always tells me in sacrifice to offer Him my best. Do your job and do it well. You do your job and you do it well, you'll make an impact even on evil people. You'll make an impact with them. Number five. I told you I'd give you five. Okay, you ready for this? Boy, the next five I'd really like to go on with, but I'm just kind of warming up here tonight. Next five. I said to change the environment. Number five. This is big. You ready for it? Don't let the environment get in you. Boy, it happens. A lot of your kids dread to see you come home from a bad day at work. Because they know you're going to kick trash, beat the walls, slam the phones, yell. What are we laughing about? Is that right or wrong? Why do we do that? You know why? The devil won that day. He got at us. He found what bothered us, and he got at us. I forget now how long ago it was. Was it 2 years ago we took a cruise or a year ago? Whatever it was. We got on one of those big ships. Man, I'm still amazed at that. Have any of you ever looked at those big cruise ships? Those things are solid steel. Solid steel. And I looked at those things, and I read in the book how much that ship we were on weighed. It was unbelievable, the weight of that ship. Boy, and I was fascinated by that. You know how I am. I get things on my mind and don't pay attention to anyone else. I'm thinking about that, and I'm thinking, how does this thing stay up? Man, I'm going to be hundreds of miles out in the water. I'd kind of like to know how it stays up. So we met the nicest guy. They call him a purser. Myself, I'd change my job title name. But that's his job title. Nice guy. Everybody else was asking Sam questions about this and about that. He was very helpful. His job is to help you any way that he can. One day I passed by and Sam's there and I said, Sam, I've got a question for you. I said, how's this thing stay afloat? He said, it's easy. I said, really? He said, yeah, it's simple. He said, as long as the water on the outside stays on the outside. That's what he said. He said, we won't sink. But he said, if the water on the outside gets on the inside, we got big trouble. Now, really, what he was saying is the vacuum that that creates, it seems like dead space, like dead air. But as long as we have that barrier to keep the environment on the outside, as long as it doesn't get on the inside, we'll stay afloat. As long as you keep that environment, I don't care how bad it is, as long as you keep that environment on the outside, as long as you don't let it creep into your heart and harbor things in your life, suddenly it's on the outside. It can't harm you. You can't sink. So suddenly you can walk on what everybody else sinks in. And believe me, you, if it's a bad environment, it has a way of creeping to the inside. Now some of you right now are saying, this doesn't affect me in the least. I hope you'll hear what I'm about to tell you. Your place of business could hire one person in the next month that could change your workplace forever. Employers, you could hire one employee, just one, that is controlled by an old, mean, negative spirit, and you can take a beautiful work harmony and disrupt that harmony until finally it is utter chaos in the workplace just from one word. You know why? Because what's on the outside has a way of getting on the inside. And the only way of keeping that out of your life and consuming your life, you have to find a barrier. I'm glad we have the barrier. When the Spirit of God is within us, He's there constantly trying to shove that out of our life. Trying to say, listen, even though everyone else is like this, you don't have to be like this. You're better than that. You can live above that. You can go beyond that. I'll help you live the life that I want you to live if you'll keep that stuff on the outside. You kids in sports, listen to me. You get one bad teammate. I don't care if they're the best player on your team. If they've got a bad, nasty attitude, they could take a state championship team and cause them to lose every game. Because that'll kill on the inside. Some of you are going to go to workplaces tomorrow and you're going to need the Lord to keep the bad stuff on the outside. Boy, I have five more, but I'm not going to go into it tonight. Just trust me. They'll help you. I'll be honest with you. I don't know why I'm preaching this. Maybe it's to keep one person from quitting a good job. You may have the best job in all the world, about ready to quit it because you're in a bad environment. Maybe it's time for you to understand. Maybe God has placed you in that environment to change it. You can make a change. The devil would love to have us think this whole world is going under. But I want you to know there's enough right here in this sanctuary tonight that we can make a change. We can make an impact on this world. But we've got to keep that stuff on the outside. Let's stand together. Brother Howard, come. Lead us in a song. Some of you may be going through it. You may need to come tonight and say, Brother Cal. Now, I know. Now, I've done this long enough to know. Some of you wouldn't want to express the fact that you're living and working in some conditions. It's hard. Afraid it would embarrass those you work with. And you may say to yourself, I'm not going to come forward. I'm just going to go home and I'm going to pray about it. That's fine, but make sure you pray about it. But some of you, it may be the fact that at the workplace, it's nothing more than some things have got into you. And believe me, you, it's easy to happen. It can happen. And you need to keep it on the outside. You need to keep yourself so that God will use you. God will bless you. That's all I want is for you to be blessed. You may say, I can't come because that would embarrass people I work for. I understand that. I understand that. But the first step in all this is, you probably will have a hard time making this work if you're not a Christian. They're great principles, but it'll be hard to live by them until you become a Christian. If you're not a Christian, maybe that's why everything's been eating at you so much, getting at you so quickly. Maybe tonight you need to come and say, I'm going to change that. I'm going to give my life to God. I'm going to get ready to suit up for the work that God's given to me. Some of you say, I can't do it. You can do any job if you get dressed for it. You need the proper attire. God will help you. He'll prepare you with what you need. As we sing together, if you want to come, you want to pray, you slip out of your seat. If you're not a Christian especially, I plead with you to come. Why don't you do as we sing together? Come right on.